Previously on Dread and Breakfast. This is Josie Warner, the proprietor of the Broken Yoke, the most haunted diner this side of the Mississippi.
You are about to meet Winnie Gindelsperger.
Ron and Lita, two very, very good old people.
Oh my god, wait, are you both of them?
Yes, I'm a hive mind.
It's me, hi. It's Chip Bankerton.
I'm sorry, I just can't help but reckon that you look like you've seen a ghost.
It's nothing, it's just my boy was picked for the thing in the woods.
Can you roll a d6 for me, please?
Dice? In Dread?
Imagine that.
All of a sudden, you hear a blood-curdling scream.
Well, honey, I've been here quite a long time, and I have never seen our regulars act as malicious as they seem to be right now.
You hear bang, bang, boom.
What?
And the proprietor of the Broken Yoke is crumpled at the base of the steps, and you know that the dinner rush is about to begin.
Before, I thought that the dinner rush meant that people were going to start coming here, but when you recontextualize it like that, now I think that the dinner rush is the ghosts, and they're going to eat us.
Oh, bad.
Right? It's not good.
I thought they were all going to join sororities.
DNR. Wait, that's something else.
Do not resuscitate. Oh, no. Is Josie DNR?
No.
We shall see. Wind whips by, its whistling filling your ears. Pebbles and debris pinging off the metal of the dumpster and ricocheting towards you. As this gigantic gust rips in from the center of town, it carries with it the delighted cheers of Harvest Festival goers. And you know that their voices will soon be followed by their presence. Hungry, ready for a reliable meal at the Broken Yoke. Whether that can be provided. Josie lays curled up at the bottom of the set of stairs, bleeding after her tumble. She clutches the back of her head. What do you do?
Oh, I mean, Winnie, like, runs down the stairs. She, like just throws her cigarette in the grass, because fuck that shit right now. We don't have time for that.
Make a pull.
Huh? Oh, okay.
You're gonna burn down the forest.
That's, you
Marissa,
know...
Marissa, you did that.
I am trying to be true to the spirit of Winnie who gives no
fuck.
Good. From the bottom.
Yeah, Winnie, like, you start bolting down these stairs towards Josie. That wind is still going strong, and it pushes you so hard that you perhaps slip one step, almost falling into the same fate as Josie, but you catch yourself on the railing at the last minute and then make your way down the last few stairs.
Oh, Lord of mercy. Josie, honey. Look at me. Are you okay?
She's like crouching down and is like going to like move Josie's hand away from her head to see if she can like ascertain severity.
Mm-hmm. As you move her hand from her head, you see that she is really scraped up and she has what looks to be a like goose egg forming near the back of her head.
Oh, no.
Josie, all right, look at me.
Winnie, I took quite a tumble. Oh, my.
Yeah, do you know what year it is? You know who I am? Do you know what year it is?
You're Winnie, and it's 1958.
And the president is?
It's Eisenhower, I think.
Okay, great. Sweetheart, we gotta get you back inside. And I want to try to, help her get up. Now you tell me if you have any pain. Did you hit your head? Did you hit your everything? Because it looks like you hit your everything.
I hit my head, and she reaches up, and as you're helping her up, make another pull.
Oh, shit. Got... We're playing Dread!
Yay! I mean, I guess Ron and Lita would take 8 years to get down the stairs and break their hips.
I was just going
to
say, Ron and Lita are both, going down the stairs, as quickly as they can.
Oh, you are? Hmm? Okay, make a pull for me.
Ron and Lita stay where they are. Ron and Lita stay where they are and don't...
No, you said it, so it happened.
Ron make and Lita are both going down the stairs, the slippery stairs of death, we're learning.
That when it's so windy?
These are the most dangerous stairs in all of Dread.
So I think Ron and Lita are teetering down the stairs ever so carefully.
We're helping each other.
Hugh.
Yes, absolutely, which is why you make it safely. Chip, what are you doing?
Observing, I guess. What we're doing this
Don't
now.
Don't go down the stairs, young man. These stairs are slippery.
Heard, Grandpa. Thank you. I mean, I'm still reeling a little bit from some screaming I heard earlier. Mm. I'm still... regathering myself from that, and now we're dealing with slip and falls, or I don't know, maybe this is just part of the the ambiance, the theming of the place. I don't fully get how it integrates, but I don't know, maybe it's just part of their shtick.
Has Chip never been to the Broken Yoke before? Is this your first ever in Spillman?
No, I mean, surely I've been there, but it's just, I don't know, it's, they do their ghost thing. It seems, it's fun.
I would venture to guess this is probably the most intense experience Chip has ever had at the Broken Yoke.
Yes, surely.
I think this is the most intense experience any of us have had.
So, Chip is staying at the top of the stairs. Ron and Lita have made it down delicately. Winnie, you are helping Josie stand up. And she grasps your hand and starts to stand up. And as she does, she lets out a horrifying scream of pain.
Okay. All right, back. We're going back down. And I want to put her back down gently.
Yeah, ever so gently. You see, her arm is just in terrible shape. She is scraped up and banged up, and this wind is still whipping around, and she looks at you panicked, because she can also hear the people from the Harvest Festival who are making their way up to the diner. And she says, Winnie, we gotta get in there. There's gonna be so many people to serve. Come on. And she goes to get herself up again.
All right, now you listen to me right now. The yoke can suffer one day of bad business. These people can wait 10 minutes for their eggs. Now, what we need to do is to get you some help. Hey, Mr. Bankerton! Top of the stairs, yeah, I spy. Make yourself useful, and please, you know where the phone is? Call Mountain View and pray to God someone competent is on the night shift tonight. Ask them to get a doctor out here.
Sure, it's... behind the counter, right?
Yeah, just jump over it. It's on the wall. You'll see it. It's blue. Now, Ron, you're more fragile than a feather duster. Do you think you can take...
That's not true at all.
All right. I'll take your word for it. All right, now, Josie, honey, I need you to try to get up again and try not to move that arm, okay? You're going to put most of your weight on me, and that weak side is going to go on Ron, okay?
Weak side?
We're going to get up... Weak side, yes. Now, Josie, okay, we're gonna get up on three. Ready? One, two, three. And we lift.
Ron, I need you to make two pulls.
Yep.
Oh, no!
Because you are attempting this without Lita.
Uh-huh.
I forgot. I'm so sorry.
Pull one.
I'm so sorry, Fab.
I mean, that's if you want to attempt this.
Oh, I'm helping. I don't know what she's talking about. me being on the weak side. I'm as young as strong as I have ever been.
I wasn't trying to goad you into doing that. I did.
And I feel terrible because I feel like I'm taking advantage of the fact that Marissa's kind of set you up for that accidentally, but DM's got to pounce when DM's got to pounce.
Nicely done.
I got you.
You don't know if it's the adrenaline of the moment, or maybe it's your enduring love and that promise that you made to Josie that you weren't going anywhere and that you would be there for her. But together with Winnie, you two pick her up successfully, and she is standing.
All right. So you're doing great. You're doing great.
You're doing so good. You just got it. Right here. Right there. Now, hold on.
We're going to take these steps.
Oh, dear.
One at a time.
One at a time.
Ron, I need you to walk with your left foot forward. You can't.
No, it's a right foot first. You always lead with the right.
Okay, fine. Okay.
You always lead with the right.
Ron, I need you respectfully.
If we start with left, we're going to be wrong. We got to go right.
Lita, can you please respectfully shut up your husband? We are going to take everyone to step with the right foot onto the top, landing in three.
Now, wait, hold on.
One,
I got to go with Lita
three.
Also. Lita and I are also stepping together. If we are part of an amorphous blob of a person, it's just that it ain't right when we're not together.
And through some of that bullshit, I hope we get up the stairs.
Yeah, I think I'll give that to you.
Josie is like kind of wobbling back and forth a little bit, and it takes a long time, but eventually you do make it up the stairs.
I think Ron almost falls and Lita like catches him.
Let's pop inside to Chip.
Hello, it's me. I'm inside calling the local area hospital, which name I remember, and
Mountain View
phone number I surely have memorized as a responsible father, and it's
fair.
The 1950s, so you just remember phone numbers somehow. I don't know.
I think
how.
There's an address book too, right?
Yeah, but make a poll for me, because there is a book under the phone, but like, it's a big book and you have got a lot of emotions going on, and that rotary phone, man, it's hard to dial. Make a poll.
And Jacob, I love you. Not to shit on Mr. Bankerton at all. Not to shit on my good boy Chip. But I feel like Chip has proven that he is not, in fact, necessarily maybe the best of parents.
I meet the standards of the time, I feel like.
Oh!
Okay, I've pulled. Okay.
Nicely done, Jacob.
We have entered Spicy Tower Land. Okay, awesome.
That's me dialing a phone.
Amazing.
I know how to do phones. I'm an adult.
I think also, like, you may have had some experience in the past calling the hospital because Chip Jr. maybe got into some mischief and maybe got hurt.
Yeah, he's a young boy. You're always getting into scrapes and another word.
Tussles and tumbles.
Scraps.
And
snicks and snoodles.
And Marissa, that is the 50s term for it. They got into some snicks and some snoodles. That's what those kids do.
Anyway. The phone rings a couple times before it picks up.
Hello, this is Mountain View Hospital. This is Sandra speaking. How may I help you?
This is Count Dracula, excuse me.
Count Sandra?
One Mountain View Hospital.
Hi, Sandy. I'm down here,
Sandra,
at
please.
The diner, and Jody broke her arm or something. I think she's going to need you to head on down here with the ambulance.
Oh, I see. Well, it looks like the ambulance is not here at the moment. There was a bit of a snick and snoodle that happened down at the Harvest Festival.
Oh, no.
And so they are taking care of that, but afterwards they will come to, you said, the broken yoke?
I have no fucking idea what this voice is.
I love
just
it
have
so
fun
much.
With it. This is great.
There's like a precursor on the Mountain View Hospital. Like, an application is, are you certifiably insane? Great. You're hired.
Amazing.
Christine, I hope you know we're calling this hospital again. Like, we...
Yes.
In the meantime, is there any first aid that I can run through with you?
The first aid of an ambulance would be great. Mountain... On Mountain Hospital have an ambulance they could send.
Sir, have you been injured? Because it seems like you don't really know what you're saying or where you are or who you are with.
I was trying to think of a funny way to say that the next hospital over would be on the mountain,
oh,
of which we have a view of. But I didn't really get there, so I'm sorry. But
that's very good.
That was a good one, sir. Ha ha! We don't get to laugh much here. It's very grave at the hospital. What were you saying anyway? Sorry.
Oh, dear. second ambulance. You know, like in case two people in the entire universe ever get hurt at the same time. Could you send that one?
Whoa, but nothing ever happens in Spillman.
Was she asking if she could do telehealth in 1950?
Listen, Sandra is ahead of her time. Fuck yeah.
Not ahead enough to have a second ambulance, but...
Those are expensive,
that's like a funding
Jacob.
Issue.
Those
are
expensive. That's a budget problem.
Let's,
hey,
Mr.
Bankerton.
You did not make your donation this year.
May I take a moment to inform you about our donor campaign?
maybe when we're not in an emergency. If you don't have a second ambulance, what's the ETA on ambulance one?
Make a poll. Oh.
Okay.
I can do this.
You could refuse it.
Sandra is like the light in this town that I didn't know I needed. Like,
Jacob!
It's fine. It's your boss I'm trying to save.
Well, I will do what I can to rush the ambulance along. I would estimate that the ambulance should be there within the hour.
Great emergency response time.
Well, you're all
okay.
The way across town. I don't really know what you want from us. I'm not the driver. I'm just the messenger, sir. Don't blame Sandra. I'm just here making ends meet so I can go home and put bread on the table for my family of vampires. I mean, my family of normal humans.
Cool. great. Well, I take it you have the number should you need to reach us, and we have your number, and hurry up, I guess. Thanks, Sandy.
Can I put in an order for some strawberry pie?
Oh, do you know what? The strawberry pie is out taking care of a fight right now, but maybe in like an hour.
I see what you've done, so you're quite witty and funny.
Thank you. I'm thinking of starting a podcast.
You want to get a cup of coffee sometime?
No, I'm married.
Oh, shucks.
I think you are too, Sandy. It's a pretty small town.
No. Oh, no. So. Oh, I did say I have a family. Well, maybe we just have a very open relationship. We're very progressive for the 50s.
I mean, congratulations. I'm going to go, I guess, check in on the emergency now.
Okay.
Goodbye.
I ship it.
I don't know where that came from. That's all right. Whatever. Great. So phone call taken care of. Where are you headed to now, Chip?
I mean, I guess back outside to tell them the terrible, terrible news.
All right. Winnie and Ron and Lita have gotten Josie up to the top of the stairs. Are you heading inside? Josie is like really inconsolable.
All right, Chip. Hey, hand me a chair from the back. We're just gonna sit you right down. Just push you in, okay?
But did you?
All right, now. All right, now, Josie. When Chip brings over a chair, like Winnie will like, and Ron will like help her sit down, and then so that way she's like not on her feet, and we can like scoot her inside.
Winnie, but everyone's gonna be coming, and I have to get in there. And did you leave something on the stove? I think I did. I don't know where.
Josie, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How did you fall?
Oh, well, I was taking the garbage out, and I just, you know, this wind started picking up, and I felt like something just swooped from underneath my feet. And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground.
Are you saying that one of the irregular did this?
Josie looks at you with eyes full of tears. I don't know. I sure don't know.
Josie, I don't know if we can be open if if the regulars are treating you this way.
No, we can't close. We can't close. The diner has always been open 24 hours. It's never closed.
Josie, honey, I think Ron and Lita have a point. There's a first time for everything, and if people are getting hurt, people are going to be more upset if their father ends up with a broken neck than if they don't get their hamburgers with 3 fried eggs on top, even though I do make a good hamburger.
No, Winnie, no.
Josie.
It's fine. They listen to me.
They
couldn't have been the regulars, and her eyes are swimming with tears, and she looks at you, like, pleading, and it's like you can see younger Josie deep within. She is scared. She is missing her parents. She is bewildered and dazed and confused and doesn't know what to do, but she is like so sad and just like pleading with you, like, Winnie, please, I'm so sorry, but I can't. I'll sit here and I'll talk to them or whatever I need to do, and you gotta keep the diner running. Mama and Daddy never closed it, and I can't, especially not during the Harvest Festival. This is the biggest time of year.
Okay.
I think Ron and Lita hear this, and they both kind of look at each other, and they nod, and they go into the back, and they suit up, and they get on their aprons.
Oh my God!
Lita puts on one of those a waitress outfits that has the pockets so you can put the notepad in it.
Yeah.
And they're like, "All right, Josie. Well, if you think you can keep them under wraps, we're with you on this."
Now, Ron, get my apron off of your heads. You can't. This is madness.
I used to make a mean dozen egg omelet.
That is, Ron, you look like someone who would freeze soup just to lick it. I'm not having you in my kitchen.
Now, you should try my dozen egg burger.
All right. Now, Josie, I know things are wild, but you got to listen to me. As best as I can tell, all the other ghosts and snicks and snoodles in this town, they make people smell lilacs in the middle of winter and implant family recipes. They don't push people down the stairs like proper poltergeists. Now, if they did that to you, what in the hell do you think they're going to do to the rest of us? I'm not saying closing, all right? We can compromise. Give us a half hour, I'll put a sign on the door, close for cleaning, and just let us get some things under control before we let people in. Can we do that? You can take it out of my pay. For today, for next week, for next year, I don't care. But what we can't have is for you being inconsolable back here. All right?
It's fine. I can do it.
It's not fine.
No, it is fine.
It's gonna be all right.
A few things need to happen here. First of all, as you're saying this to Josie, you hear voices of people outside the door of the diner.
Yikes.
People are starting to enter. Like, they are here. It is the Harvest Festival. They are here expecting to have a meal. They are laughing and talking in enthusiastic tones, discussing their favorite acts from the talent show, and here and there, you do hear a few yelps, but they're more delighted yelps, as various people are experiencing these pinches and cold spots from the spirits. Mm-hmm. Having just come from the center of town, these people have no idea what has been happening tonight at the Broken Yoke.
Ugh.
And you look over at this like crowd that's forming, and they are interacting with the spirits, with the regulars. Nothing seems to be out of order. And you look back at Josie, and she is kind of wobbling in the chair a little bit, but like staring down at this crowd and like looking up at the fan and looking over at the jukebox, and like you can tell that she's kind of trying to take inventory and like stay on top of things that might happen. But even with that, I need everybody to roll a d6 for me.
Oh, okay. Now, Fab had a theory about these.
I do have
that
a theory about these.
We've discussed in between recordings, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
4.
5.
I rolled a 1 again.
Ooh. 4, 5, and a 1.
Bob, you've ruined it.
Okay, give me one second.
Oh, dear.
I'm so curious.
That makes me think that maybe my prediction on what this is wrong, and Christine has maybe gone full table goblin? I'm not sure.
Table goblin?
Yeah, like you have a bunch of D6 tables that we're constantly rolling on.
There's definitely some table checking going on right now, though.
So, wonderful. It appears that Josie has some level of control over these spirits. Ron and Lita, you are suited up, ready to go to help run this diner. Winnie, you're an old hat at this. And Chip, you are good at hanging out.
Yeah, I'm just a bystander to this. I did my duty. I called the hospital.
Chip, you are a Bankerton, and Bankerton's bank.
A ton.
So, like, before we all disperse into our corners, I think Winnie just gives Josie another look, sighs, and is like, all right, fine, but we're going to have some ground rules, Ron and Lita. Everything is to be cooked according to the recipes. They're all written down in the back. If you add one extra dash of cayenne, I will know and we will have a problem. Also, do not touch the rubber-handled spatula. That one is mine. Thank you. And you...
I want to add more eggs.
No, we ordered enough for enough.
Now, every dish needs at least two more eggs.
Whatever. Just try to follow instructions, please. And you, Mr. Bankerton, best I can tell, our regulars started acting up the second you came in the door spouting skepticism. So I would respectfully request you manage the room. You're a Bankerton, after all. The town respects your family almost as much as the Spillman. So, I don't know. Do some schmoozing. Keep people calm. Try to keep them from realizing that we have desperately lost control on whatever the hell is happening in this diner. And, sir, I suggest you start believing in ghosts. Do we have an understanding?
So you want me to go tell everybody everything's fine while also simultaneously being more scared? This is your request?
Yes, absolutely. Glad we have that covered. You think you can handle that?
I think I'm going to go back to my dinner. Which is cold, by the way. Great work.
Yeah, no problem. And I'm not making you a refresh or a heat up. So get out of my kitchen. Anyway, meanwhile, I'm going to make a simmer pot. And she like goes off on the line and starts grabbing like the biggest like soup pot she can find and like filling it with water and grabs like... This was Morton salt around in the 50s because she's grabbing that and like orange cloves and apple. Like she is like doing some off menu bonker shit that is a whole other thing over here.
The 12 egg hamburger.
I said two eggs. Are you trying to bleed our chickens dry? I thought you lived during the Depression.
It taught me to enjoy the excess when I got it.
The egg.
There it is.
That's Ronald for you. Always so good with the puns.
Winnie.
Yes?
I want to get back to that simmer pot. I feel like there's something there to explore. So hold on to that because I love that. I love that you've started doing that.
Spectacular.
Okay, Ron, Lita, you're stepping up to the griddle. Is somebody going in to seat anybody in the diner?
I think that's what Winnie told Bankerton to do. Whether or not he does that is...
He does not.
I think Lita goes to be waitress person, and Ron is kitchen boy.
Okay, cool.
I used to cook in the army.
Oh. So I think Ron and Lita, you give each other a little smooch before you part ways. I will still count this as working together because you are, you know, attempting to keep the diner on the rails.
Collaborating on a project?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, I appreciate that.
So Chip, are you helping or are you helping seat people? Are you just hanging out? Are you talking to anybody?
Yeah, I feel like he's just hanging out. Like, I don't work here. I don't know why people suddenly think I do. Finishing my cold chicken and trying to, you know, straighten my ears a little bit to try to hear what's going on outside over the hustle and bustle of 10,000 people ordering eggs all at once.
12 dozen of them.
I just am having this, like, you know how it's like sometimes people will get a whole theater of people to like snap at the same time and it's really loud. I'm just imagining 10,000 people going, eggs, simultaneously. But that's just me.
If you're listening to this, say out loud, eggs, right now. Three, two, one.
Eggs!
That's not at all like Christine's vision, but it was a fun thing that we got to do together.
Chip, you take your place in the corner booth. Things have gotten a little screwy this evening, but ultimately you are the customer. You sink into the well-worn vinyl of the seat, flip open your newspaper, and begin to peruse the headlines. Well, perhaps keeping a surreptitious eye on things. Because, Mr. Bankerton, you are about to witness the dinner rush. What starts as a small trickle of patrons making their way up the hill after the talent show soon turns into a flood of Spelmanites, all hungry and ready for a meal here at the Broken Yoke. The previously empty booths are now packed with people laughing and enjoying themselves, musing over the menus and laughing about drama from the Harvest Festival. Spillman's the kind of town where when you get everyone together in one place, some bizarre happening is bound to develop, so there is a lot to talk about this evening. The energy of the place picks up, and in turn, so do the regulars. Plates are spinning left and right, the blinds are moving up and down on their own accord, and a definitive cold spot has formed between tables 2 and 3. But so far, everyone seems to be enjoying the ambiance, although it does seem that quite a few tables are ready to order, and small groups of people are gathering near the door, waiting for a booth to open. Lita, who are you interacting with, and what are you doing to manage this crowd as it grows?
Well, I'm just relying on people's good nature, you know? I'm just putzing about doing my thing.
Well, now, Lita, we see you here at the Grogan Yoke all the time. Are you finally working here now?
Oh, yeah. You know, there were just two people scheduled for the shift, and one of them is indisposed at the moment, so Ron and I thought, well, two of us might just make one young, able-bodied little so-and-so. So, we thought we'd help out.
Well, that sure is kind. Perhaps you could find a table for me and my family? And they point back to the gaggle of children that they have with them.
Oh, of course. Mr. and Mrs. Bank Spelmer Tub.
That's right, the Bank Spelmer Tubs.
Yeah.
That's our name, don't wear it out.
Please, you and your 14 children, we got a corner booth for you right here.
As they all get into the booth, every single child says, thank you, 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 thanks. So they all sit in the booth, and you, I think, start taking their orders, perhaps?
Oh, I know what you all want. You all want omelets.
Yes! Eggs! A resounding cry goes out through the diner for eggs.
Oh my god.
Winnie's in hell.
I like to think that Winnie is like very engrossed in her bullshit, and every once in a while she like will look up as Ron like goes into the kitchen and brings out like a carton of eggs, and she'll like do like one quarter like stir and watch him shuffle back into the kitchen and bring out another carton of eggs.
I'm up to crazy tonight.
Lita, you maybe scribble down. Winnie, what's the shorthand for omelets?
Cowboy Western, of course. Omelet with peppers and mushrooms and cheese. Mm.
So you scribble down 14 Cowboy Westerns. It gets conveyed back to Ron, who is at the grill top. Eggs aplenty. How you doing, Ron?
So Ron is just kind of like, he's trying his best to make omelets, but he never had to make omelets in an army kitchen. Surprisingly enough, fresh eggs were not in high supply during the war. So he is just beating up a lot of eggs and adding stuff to it. And then he has, I imagine it's like just like a flat iron grill, like the whole thing. And so he has like at least half of it is just eggs. And he is like trying to like portion it out into like reasonable omelet size.
I think make a poll for me to see how successful this is.
That's, you know, that's so kind of you to say just the one poll. That's so nice. you're so cool.
Well, we established that you and Lita are, you know, heading for the same goal.
I meant more that this is a rather insurmountable odd kind of thing.
Nice.
There we go.
Very nice. So yeah, I mean, Ron, it's not like the prettiest work ever, but you know, it's kind of hard to mess up scrambled eggs, and essentially that's what an omelet is. And so you are like working, you're using the different spatulas, the clanging against the grill top. Everything is going pretty smoothly.
It's because Lita's selling them all on eggs instead of literally anything else.
Yeah.
And so she's helping me out because she's like, well, he can do eggs. Anyone can do eggs, so he can do that.
He has the bare minimum of human skill.
Yeah.
The
there. Hey, he's old. It's hard.
It might be a bar solo mice trip on it, but boy howdy, can he sure step over that one.
Oh my god. So Ron, as you are like scrambling these eggs and trying to fold over these omelets, you go to like flip one of them and a little piece of egg kind of like flies off and it just like hits you in the wrist. But it is this slimy feeling, and as it like slides off of your wrist, like the sensation starts going up your arm. And it turns from a slimy feeling into a skittering, like you have something crawling all over your body. You get a sensation of legs, and you can almost like hear them like ticking away as they're skittering around, and it's itchy and uncomfortable, and you've just got things crawling up your spine and down your sleeves and down your legs and into your shoes and around your feet and bad up your ears and into your hair and down your neck. You can't shake this sensation. What do you do?
Bad.
I'm making the determination in my brain right now of how cursed I want Ron to be.
What?
Seven.
Thank you, Jacob. I lean into it. You know what?
What?
This is terrible. This might just be the worst massage I have ever received.
Yeah. That's one way of describing it.
I think Ron leans into it. It's like, this is terrible, but if I were to shy away, the spirits might like that even less. So maybe this is them trying to do me a kindness, and I need to be accepting of that.
Fascinating.
So you're just gonna like sit with this terrible, horrible feeling of millions of bugs crawling around your body.
Now when you say it like that, but yes.
Okay.
I feel like I need to tough it out also because I can't leave my post.
Make two pulls for me.
Two pulls.
Oh, because you're muscling through it without the support of your wife, Ronald.
My wife.
Wow, this could be very dangerous. There are like a couple of spots that are very, very bad in this tower.
I really don't want to kill the old couple, but
I know. Well, I mean, Bob,
Christine, you did this to me. Christine, you gave the old couple to the pull happy crazy boy. So
I know I did, and I think that might have been a problem. Oh, okay.
We're fine.
Oh, nice, Bob.
We're fine.
Nice.
Those are so smooth.
So Ron, you're at the cooktop, and I think that maybe you're like doing a little bit of an ants in your pants dance as you're cooking. And Winnie, you notice this.
Ron, all right, look, I will get on the line in like 5 minutes. Do you need to use the restroom? Little boy's room is back down that hall.
I don't know if I can be away from these eggs that long, but yes, that is definitely what this is. It's a wee wee dance.
Ron, that is not, those are not eggs anymore. That is an affront to God. I don't know what the hell you are doing to that cooktop. And sweet Lord, the witch will have her way, my God.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Oh, no. Marissa, you said the thing. You activated her trap card.
Oh, did I?
I think so.
It's a colloquial saying.
I'm not invoking a name. The pot that you're working with, like, boils up real quick and then comes down again when you say that.
What?
I think that Winnie sees that.
What?
And is almost like, okay, motherfucker, and we'll focus even more intently on this.
Okay.
Because what Winnie is doing is she is making a simmer pot, which is something that, if anyone asks, she would say that it's something that my mama learned from the witch and something she passed down to me because my mama knew the witch when she was still breathing, though some folks here seem to forget that she was a living, breathing woman at the time. I'm not going to call it magic, but I'm going to call it preventative measures. So you take a pot, you salt it with water, and you put in some cloves for defense and protection, and throw in some lemongrass for cleansing, some orange, some rosemary, and you just let it simmer. And I don't know if it'll help temper the regulars or not, but I have so little control over anything going on in this building right now. I will have control over this pot. Mm. And I'm like, it's like the decaf, but worse.
Winnie, are you saying this out loud?
Yes. I think she has started just muttering to herself.
I think if you say that out loud and you start talking about the witch, I think Ron would turn away from the stovetop for a second to have some words with you, young lady.
Interesting. Okay. Now I don't remember exactly what the rosemary's supposed to be for, but I know the witch told my mama orange for happiness and
Winnie.
Can I help you?
Did
you should be flipping those eggs right about now, yeah.
Did I hear correct? Did you say the witch?
Yeah, what about her?
The lady that helped your mom?
Yeah. I'm sure you've heard the rumors about me and why growing up was so fun with the other kids. The witch allegedly was my mama's midwife, and thanks to her, I'm in the world, so you're stuck with me.
Young lady, she was just a person just like you and me. She wasn't the term witch has so many... This isn't Salem, you know? She was just a person. Her name was Eloise.
The pot is at a rolling boil. It's more than a simmer.
I want to turn it down a little bit.
You can.
I dump in a couple more cloves and keep like stirring it a little bit, and I give you a side eye. That Ron, I've known you all my life. How come, you never told me you knew her? You knew her? When she was alive?
We would converse from time to time.
And now the story's true?
It sort of depends on what stories you're asking about. I think a lot of what she was and who she was has been conflated over the years for attention and dramatization.
And what do you think about this whole Harvest Festival commemorating her murder by George Spillman?
The perfume from the simmer pot is so strong and sweet and spicy and wafting through this whole room.
I think that's good.
that sounded like a good thing from God above. I don't care for it much. Lita likes it. She was not as close as I was with Miss Eloise. And so she thinks it's a fun, you know, autumn festival. Nah, I could do without it, frankly.
The scent is intoxicatingly strong.
I think Winnie kind of taps, like, her spoon on the pot to get any stuck herbs and stuff off of the spoon. And she'll lower the heat until it's just a gentle simmer.
Oh no, it is still boiling. You have been lowering that heat and it is still going strong.
I think she'll lower the heat as much as it will go. Like a flicker of a flame.
And she'll kind of turn to you, Ron, with a little, like a little more respect. She'll kind of nod, pull out a cigarette, light it off the stove, and take a drag and be like, all right. Well, I tell you what, Ron, if we make it through this night, I would love to sit down and hear what you have to think about those old stories. In the meantime, your eggs are 3 degrees too hot, and you should be putting the cheese on right about now. Lena, darling, next order. And I'll take my place next to him.
You do, but in the moment that you have turned your back to the simmer pot...
Motherfucker.
Something has happened, and I need you to make me a poll, Winnie.
Motherfucker. Okay.
No.
Because the intent is that... the simmer pot is supposed to, like, help with vibes and, you know, protection and calm down the regulars. Not make them mad.
You're okay. You got to be okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Winnie, you have turned your back to this pot. Though you have turned down the flame, the scent is, like, chokingly strong at this point. And you call out Lita's name, and you start to hear a sizzling as the pot overflows. It is boiling over and boiling over. There is just, like, so much coming out of this pot. It starts as boiling water perfumed with these herbs and spices. You see them rise up out of the pot faster and faster, and it turns shades of pink and blue and green, and it turns brown and is spewing from this pot. There is more substance coming from here than you ever could have imagined. That scent of the perfume of the herbs, it hits the burner. It starts to burn. You start to smell an acrid scent that is filling the kitchen. The water is pooling down onto the ground, and all of a sudden, the whole thing catches the flame. There is still stuff spewing out of this pot.
Oh my god!
What do you do?
I move it. I get the pot. I throw it in the back. I have, like, scream. Fire extinguisher. Do we have fire extinguishers in the 50s?
Sure. Make me a poll.
Shit. This is terrible. I don't want a volcano of death, Christine. Oh! Fine.
That's so bad.
Not good. That's not good.
That's not good.
Extra spicy.
With that successful poll, Winnie, I will allow you to manage this. What do you do to quell this spewing, flaming, near exploding pot?
I take the pot off of the stove and I immediately throw it in the back sink, just like run it in, throw it down, and there's some weird bullshittery coming on, so I don't know if it's like a food fire or a grease fire, so she, like, while she's in the back kitchen, will, like, grab the fire extinguisher off of the wall, spray the fuck out of the pot in the sink, and then run around to the front, put herself in front of Ron, because he's an old man and shouldn't be near open flames, because he has papery old people skin. I'm so stressed, Christine. I spray, like, the whole fucking half of the cooktop. It's just, oh my god.
Not the eggs!
Oh.
I think you pushed Ron out of the way, because Ron, while you were getting the pot, Ron was, like, walking towards the fire extinguisher, but Ron cannot move fast.
Aww.
Yeah, okay. So, Winnie, you do all these things. I like to think that, like, we cut briefly to Chip's perspective. He's, like, sitting in the main diner. The jukebox is playing some, like, happy rock and roll, and, like, all of a sudden you just hear, like, screaming and, like, sizzling noises and, like, oh god, and, like, all of a sudden, like, from behind the counter, you start to see this pot boiling over, and Winnie is screaming and yelling and running around, and there are flames, and she is spraying everything with foam.
My eggs!
Yeah, the eggs are... I'm so sorry to say, but the eggs definitely have gotten some fire extinguishing foam on them.
Nothing a little bit of water won't fix.
The whole...
Oh, no.
And so the whole diner is, like, watching this in, like, silence I think the jukebox even like stops for a second in like observation of what's occurring here. And so Winnie, you like finally put out the last of the fire and look up and you see all 14 of the Bankin Stumpin' Son Shire kids looking at you, all 14 pairs of their eyes. You see Chip looking at you. Chip, like, what do you think of this? Like, how are you regarding this?
These fools can't even make a soup.
Wow.
Like, come on.
Wow.
What is happening here? This place is a mess.
We're not trying to make soup. No one's ordering soup. It's all eggs.
Sure looked like a soup to me. And I didn't say that out loud. This is the thing I thought.
But so the diner has fallen quiet after this outburst. What do you all do?
Winnie is like holding the fire extinguisher, like breathing heavy, like turns to regard her audience and is just like, well, starch my shirt with acorn dust. It's your lucky day. Eggs on the house. God damn it, mother. And we'll just like soak back into the back to try to start cleaning up. Is Josie in the back? Like, is she like hearing this nightmare?
Yeah. Like- yeah, I mean, like, she's in the back. She has kind of just been like hanging out. I think you wanted to keep her away from like the noise and stuff because clearly she's got a head injury. I think a couple people see this chaos and they haven't put their orders in yet. So they just like get up and leave.
That's fine. You know what? Winnie counts that as a win. Win for Winnie. Excellent.
I think Ron and Lita are both a bit distraught. Like they thought that they had this.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is like, oh, we so don't have this. Like, this is still so not. Oh,
it wasn't your fault.
Like, it's like the place just needed a little bit of help. And then it would just be like it was before. And it's not. It's still, it's like, it's getting worse. It's getting weirder. Ron's like in a space because he's like, well, that pot had more water in it than it could hold.
Yeah, I hate that, actually.
That's an odd occurrence, you know, to say the least.
To say the least.
Lita, who didn't know about that, but has like seen this and like can see the look of concern and shock on her husband's face, is like a bit at a loss for words and is kind of just like doubling down into like, no, this will be normal. I will force it that way. And so it's like going around reassuring people that everything's okay, getting people more waters, napkins, that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe taking like, is anybody's order ready yet?
Yes.
It was. Sure ain't now.
No, it is. It just needs a little bit of water. It just needs a little bit of water.
I'll say, how about only half of the eggs got foam on them? So maybe you could serve up these omelets, but they'll just be like a little smaller than usual.
And they're on the house. So you know what? Nobody's going to mind if they're shorted a little bit when it's free anyway.
Yeah.
All the Bank Spilmer tubs, all 14 of them get their omelets.
Yeah. And they kind of like, they look at you a little concerned, but, you know, okay, they've gotten their omelets, and the parents look at you and are, like, nodding, and they're like, okay, thank you, Lita.
You're welcome.
All right, eat up, kids.
If there's anything else I can do for you, you give me a holler.
We'll do. Chip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been sitting there, you've been observing everything. You saw the chaos of the simmer pot. What do you make of all of this?
What I imagine my reaction to this would be to just kind of, I mean, want to be left alone, want to be, just get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like you're, like at a restaurant when you hear two tables over, they're having a big fight, and so you just kind of like hunker down into your booth and like pretend that you're not here? Like, I will be here, but I will be small in the space.
Yeah, I mean, that's where my head goes.
Yeah, I think that that's a very reasonable path to just, like, observe everything and take it all in. This is very much unlike anything you've ever seen. You've only been to the Broken Yoke a few times, but this is, like, completely out of the ordinary. Have you put in another order for anything else to eat? It's been a little while. Your food grew cold.
Oh, he didn't have to ask for nothing. I got a warm-up coming his way.
All right, what are you warming up for him, Ron?
He had the chicken catch a blue. So I was gonna make that again for him. I got my chicken, and then I gotta catch some blue stuff,
and some eggs, of course.
Of course.
Mother daughter reunion.
I think we deliver it together because we want to have some words with the nice gentleman.
Go for it.
Mr. Bankerton, Chip?
Yeah?
We noticed your dinner had gone cold, so we thought you might like a warm-up. And we put the chicken catch-a-blue in front of you.
Oh, thank you,
Of course. And, we may not know what it's like to have a one of our own, but we do know what it's like to care about someone greatly and worry for them and their safety. We're doing that for Josie right now. Part of the reason why we jumped right into helping is, frankly, it makes the time pass faster.
I feel judged.
No, sir, no. I don't mean to tell you how to live. You're a very respectable man, Mr. Bankerton. There's no judgment here. Just a suggestion from someone who's been around the block a few times. Maybe you being so worried, you might find that doing something with the time that you're just waiting around might make the waiting go by faster.
Do you have, like, a game or something?
Oh, now, game, you say, young man? I got, checkers. I got backgammon.
Don't you have to burn some eggs or something, though?
Probably. If you want, what I can do, you can roll the dice for me, and then I'll tell you which pieces I'll move.
That sounds like absolute hell for anyone who would have to listen to us.
But, Mr. Bankerton, I must ask, are you the sort of man to care?
Fair enough. Sure. I roll double six and move my piece 12 things, I think, is how the game works.
And then I believe you get to roll again because you rolled doubles.
Oh, wow. Double sixes again.
Now, Mr. Bankerton, I might be back in the kitchen already, which is a magical feat of trapeze work, I must say. But there's no way in hell you just rolled double sixes twice in a row now. Come on.
I mean, anything is possible, right?
Anything is possible. And as you are rolling the dice in the story, I would ask that everybody roll their d6 again.
No. Jacob, how could you introduce dice into the actual fiction?
You introduced backgammon.
4 for me.
5.
Damn, okay. Ooh, all right.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right.
I don't like how happy Christine is. I mean, I do because my friend is happy, but I don't because I'm worried about what it means for me.
The two of you start playing your game. Across the diner, back at the Bank of Spillman cups and tongs.
Oh,
no.
One of the children is throwing a fit.
Oh, shit.
They look at their parents and they say, I don't like it. I don't like it. Now, come on. Now, this was made special for you by Mr. Ron himself. You're gonna sit there and you're gonna eat it.
But it tastes bad. I don't like it.
This is what we always get you, omelets. You've eaten this many times before. I know that you like this.
No, they're... Oh, no.
Another child pipes up and says,
No, mine's not good either.
All right, now what's wrong with yours?
It tastes weird. Like, I don't know, just weird.
God damn it. And all of them, like, realize that, like, this food, it looks fine, but it tastes, like, burnt and metallic, and it's just not good.
Christine!
And I think all of them get up and are like, we're out of here. This something weird is going on. This place that we usually depend on to feed our kids is just not good, and they already said it's on the house, so They get up and all of them leave. Honestly, I think that that might have been the last people in the diner at this point, because a lot of the other people saw the chaos of the simmer pot, hadn't put in their orders yet, and just were like leaving because they're like, this is weird and crazy. So the diner is pretty empty. It's just Ron and Lita and Chip playing the game at the front. Things are a little calmer for the moment. Winnie.
Yes.
Where are you and what are you doing?
So she had originally gone in the back to partially to get a mop, because I imagine the floor is still soaked.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, to check in with Josie, because I assume she has heard the screaming and the sizzling and all of that. Because I think we had left her in like a chair in the back by the back door, because I assume that is where the ambulance will bring in the stretcher, rather than going through all the booths and stuff. How is she doing? Because Winnie just rolls in like with a fire extinguisher, like looking very disheveled, and just like drops it in the corner, like fully empty.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's kind of like slumped over, like her head is in her hands, like she's not doing great.
I'll pull up a chair from the back and plop down next to her and lightly like take her hand. So good news, bad news, good news. Looks like we made it through the dinner rush.
Josie looks up at you and she doesn't say anything, but she just has this like faraway look in her eyes. Like her eyes are swimming in their sockets, basically.
Okay. Oh, that's not good.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sweetheart, I need you to talk to me about anything you want. Just tell me about your mom. Tell me about your mama.
And she kind of like gazes across the diner at the picture of her parents holding young Josie's hand, and a tear slips down her cheek.
Well, my mama, well, she was the warmest, kindest person I ever knew. We used to play this game where she would go running through the diner with a spatula, chasing after me, trying to tag me with it, and I would dive under the tables, and she'd pretend that she didn't know where I was. Mama, I'm right here! And I'd pop out of from the top of the booth, and we'd go running around together, and
she kind of, like, gets up like she's about to head out, like,
no,
towards...
No. We're just gonna stay sitting out right here. Okay? Everything's fine.
And her head lolls to one side, and she looks out the window.
Mama, I didn't know they were doing fireworks tonight.
Are there fireworks outside, Christine?
Make a poll.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck me. What fucking bullshit.
You got this, Winnie. You got this. You got it.
I
believe
don't
in
know that I do, frankly. Okay.
The spice continues to grow.
Winnie, out the window, you do see like some faint flashes of light in the sky.
What in the devil's on horseback? I want to like get up and go over to the window. Like, is it fireworks? Or like, can I tell what it is?
I don't know if you know what it is, but they definitely wouldn't be setting off fireworks in the forest. And some of the lights are over the forest.
Oh, no. Like, by the sentry tree?
Maybe in that direction, yeah. But there's also some other stuff, like, closer towards town, closer towards the mine.
I feel like an earworm's eating out my eyes. Okay. Josie, sweetheart, I'm gonna be right back, okay?
Mama, I'll go hide, and then you try to find me.
No, sweetheart, I need you to sit right here and wait. We're gonna play. How about you come find me this time, but you gotta wait here and give me some time to hide. So you're gonna sit and you're gonna wait until I call you, okay?
I'll count.
Yeah, count to 100, baby girl, okay?
Is Daddy gonna hide too?
Yeah, sweetheart, he's gonna hide too. Okay, just count to 100, okay?
And she, like, smiles and her head lolls back and she covers her eyes gently and starts counting.
Oh, fuck you, Christine. Fuck you, fuck this podcast, fuck all this shit. So Winnie will, like,
quickly go back to the front, just splashing through the water by the griddle, because who cares at this point? It's all hell. It's all bad. Mr. Bankerton, you might be inclined to look out the window. I don't know. Things are more sideways than an arrow shot on Valentine's Day, but something's going on in the woods, and you might want to check on your boy.
And Chip, you look out the window, and you look towards the front, because you've been on ambulance watch. Make me a pull.
Cool. I've done nothing, and now I have to make a pull.
Sorry.
A pull for observation.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. It's fine. It'll be fine. I'm sure it's going to be fine.
Jacob, you could refuse. Jacob, you could have.
Oh,
no. You didn't refuse it. Oh!
Jacob.
Sometimes spicy is delicious.
And sometimes.
You were a breath away from death there, my man. Fuck.
So, Chip, you look out the window and you see flashing lights. Blue and red and white. And then you hear it. A siren. And down the road, here comes the ambulance.
Oh, thank Christ.
Finally. It's about time.
I want to go back in the back. And can I look back out towards the trees? Like, am I seeing different lights? Or was I crazy?
You're going to have to make a poll to make that distinction.
Well, you see, Christine, this is an interesting pickle you have put me in, because the tower is very bad. And
I'm being mean.
I don't know if Winnie cares that much.
You're gleeful about it too, Christine. Well done. You've evolved.
I am going to refuse your pull, and I am not going to care.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Chip, are you kind of helping to, like, guide the ambulance and stuff, or?
I guess so. I guess I'm a part of this again. I'll tell the ambulance they're out back.
Ah, you're afraid of losing to me in backgammon, young man. I know, it's because I have most of my pieces away in the goal, but old Ron wins again.
Touchdown. Congratulations.
Thank you kindly.
So, Chip, you exit the diner and you kind of guide the ambulance where it needs to go. It parks and you see someone descend from the ambulance. You look at this person, tall and thin with long curly hair that is pulled back into a low ponytail. They wear a navy blue jacket that has the emblem of Mountain View Hospital, with a patch sewn over their heart that reads, Beck. Pushing a metal stretcher and with a red backpack slung over their shoulder, they look at you intensely, eyes bugging through thick-lensed glasses, and nervously brush an errant tendril of hair away from their face. And they say, hi, we got a call that there was an emergency at the diner?
The lady what runs the place seems to be, she fell, I guess, like an hour ago. how long has it been? It seems like it's been a while.
Oh, sorry, you know, a lot of things happening down at the Harvest Festival. I got here as fast as I could.
Sure, great. She's inside, just waiting, so it's this way?
All right, cool. And you can see that they are really taking in the whole exterior of the diner with inquisitive eyes and almost a sense of excitement.
Oh, interesting. Quick question.
Yes.
We've all lived in Spillman for quite some time. Do we know Beck at all?
You probably would not know this person. They are relatively new to Spillman.
Ooh.
From inside the diner, we see the door begin to swing as Chip pulls it open. Ron, Lita, and Winnie, you hear a clinking sound all around. The silverware, left askew on every single table in the diner, rattles and then levitates, spins to orient itself in one direction, before simultaneously launching en masse across the diner.
Oh, no.
Everybody make me a poll.
This episode of Dread and Breakfast brought to you by eggs.
3, 2, 1.
Eggs.
Got it.
Got it. Got it.
Got
in
it
one.
In one.
Did it. Got it in one or got it in one dozen.
Can we harmonize our eggs?
Eggs.
We're really bad at this. Oh, you're still here? You must really love us, the Dread and Breakfast Podcast. Thank you for that. We love you too. Hey, have you considered taking your love for us and expressing that outwardly to your friends and family? Word of mouth, specifically your mouth, you listening right now, your mouth, is the most powerful tool we have to spread the word about our show, and that tool lies within your face. So thank you for wielding it often and wisely. Our theme song this season is composed by Morgan Thomas Mills and samples some music courtesy of the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. A full list of our sound credits, content warnings, links, and other cool stuff can be found at our website, dnbpod.com. We also want to thank Jacob Smith for having a great first name and for composing an original song that we featured in this episode. You can find links to all of his cool creative projects and other stuff in the episode notes and also probably on our website. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks for the next part of the story. Bye.